I trimmed the Spanish moss. It was, I had to get rid of it.
So sorry. So sorry, man.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
Oh, fucking amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah?
Do you go on bike rides at, like, you know...
I go on bike rides, and then I can feel, like, all the wind just going by me, and then it just blows back my all this hair. It's awesome. Like a fucking majestic comet going down the street.
Yeah, is everything in slow motion in your life when you're, like, going down the street?
No.
And, like,
for everyone else, shallow, For everyone else,
shallow depth of field, you know what I'm saying? So it's, like, all dreamy.
For everyone else, it's in slow motion. Like, it just, time stops.
You're moving in normal speed, but everybody else is like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what it feels like when you feel the wind on your neck after shaving.
Look at that majestic stallion riding by. Hello and welcome to the Planet Destiny podcast. This is episode number 79, and it's sponsored by Blue Microphones and Headphones. Shout out to Comcast for being the pinnacle of ISPs. In America, you're doing something right when everyone fucking hates you. Raise a glass of wine. There you go. Comcast, the only company in America where they could fix every single thing wrong with their service, and I just wouldn't give a shit because
Comcast cares.
It's Comcast.
Can we get? Right. Do you think we can get a Comcast sponsorship?
I think there's one incoming right now.
We guys, should we go for it? Should we like send out some emails? And
you're just gonna see our webcams blink off one at a time. Blink, there goes Patrick. Blink, there goes Taffy. Blink.
Maybe they. You know how like everybody thinks we have streamer perks.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, don't tell them. All right.
Keep it on the DL.
Maybe what we could do is get some ISP perks. See what I'm saying? Get some like.
Yeah, we can. It's called getting like fiber internet from a different ISP.
Yeah. So we had a TWAB. We had a This Week at Bungie. And a lot of people were speculating because it was so late today that we were really going to get some exciting news.
Yeah, I thought there was
I'll be honest with you. I am excited about the upcoming news, but there wasn't a whole lot in this one.
It's the news about news.
A little bit.
It was news about
light.
News. Yeah. We are going to get a new... reveal stream next week on Wednesday, July 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about the changes in the timeline. Is that what's going on here? How the world, you know, has changed with the passage of time, which is fairly non-descriptive. It's a little weird, right?
We scroll down the page here and find
they specifically point out this will not be an incursion into the Plague Lands. So they're not going to show us the Plague Lands. It's really going to be about how what's changed, you know, with the passage of time, which, you know, I really have no idea what that means.
Are they just going to do like a... Maybe they're talking about doing a synopsis of what's happened in Destiny up to now from vanilla...
Like, lore-wise? Like,
yeah, well, maybe like, you know, they're going to show the swords of Crota, and then the wolves come in House of Wolves, and then show the Taken that's changed all the patrols and all that. You know what I'm talking about? How like that's all transpired in the past 2 years.
Yeah,
you know, because they can't show us what's coming in Rise of Iron.
Actually, it's a Cosmodrome Winter Tour, that's the actual title of it. So. Yeah. What it will probably end up being.
I should read the Bungie update.
We should read the titles more often. So what it's probably going to be is literally just a tour of the current Cosmodrome.
But not the Plague Lands?
But not the actual Plague Lands.
That's cool.
Yeah, they'll probably show, like, hey, that's see that giant gaping hole in the wall?
We're not going through there. Looks cool, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you want to know what's behind there? Let's just walk the door in the tower?
Yeah.
Sure, bet you would like to know what's back there. You're gonna have to wait.
So what you're saying is that we might actually see the updated Cosmodrome, but not the portion, but only portions that we've already seen before. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, that sounds likely. The updated Cosmodrome, but I believe like the entire Cosmodrome has been quote unquote updated. Like, cool. It's all in winter now, so there's even more snow than there's already currently there. From all the screenshots that we've seen. Like, some of our actions have kind of, you know, scarred the landscape already, you know, where there were fallen devil walkers. There's now dead fallen devil walkers, like, you know, the
nice
the one that comes in there that drops in for the public event. Yeah, there's a dead one there now.
That's cool.
Yeah,
you know what would be cool that is doesn't impact gameplay at all, but it just is nice. Deformable snow. I want it.
Do you want to make some snowballs?
I want to be able to step in that snow and see my footprint in there and be like,
Tefty,
yeah.
Tefty, do you want to build a snowman?
I want to build a snowman.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Do you think the Fallen even know it's Christmas?
They don't celebrate Christmas. They're godless heathens.
Yeah, you think they're...
Actually, no, they're not godless heathens. I apologize. They do worship those prime things.
So just heathens.
They're just heathens.
Just heathens, yeah. Just straight up heathen.
I can get down with heathens.
Heathen aliens.
Heathens love Christmas, too.
Yeah, everybody.
What?
You know?
Everybody likes
Bungie.
My Jewish friends love Christmas.
Bungie, please, change the orbs to, like, giant Christmas tree balls that just, like, float around and shoot popcorn at you or something during Christmas time. Please.
Agreed.
So, yeah, well, that's the stream that we have to look forward to going to tour the Cosmodrome Winter. I'm definitely gonna look forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I love seeing world changes. I like seeing them for the first time when I just kind of jump in there. But
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. Are you worried that they're gonna piecemeal too much content out before?
I'm real worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm worried about it.
They showed us a lot of the Taken King, and I was still pretty surprised about a lot of the stuff I saw. But they really did show a lot of the Dreadnought specifically before we got there, right?
The thing that I didn't like about the Dreadnought was that they did show a lot of it, but for some reason it still felt like it was going to be bigger than it actually was. If that makes any sense, the Dreadnought just isn't that big of a zone,
like compared to.
Yeah.
The Cosmodrome?
I compared to the Cosmodrome. At least for me, it feels like that. Now, that might be due to, you know, it being enclosed and there's no sparrows on it. Sparrows on it.
It does feel a little smaller.
It feels smaller than the rest.
They did a good job with the Dreadnought of making it feel like there are a lot of different routes in it. Like, it's very maze-like. I like that about it. And I think if there were sparrows, then it would definitely feel a lot smaller. But... like, you know, there's the Court of Oryx. There's all sorts of different places around there. So, like, depending on what you're doing in the Dreadnought, it can feel pretty large.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the whole prison area. You got the area with the crashed ship. You got the Oryx area. Mm-hmm. You got the other side with the crashed ship. You also got the area where you land for the first time. And you kind of are first introduced into that, like, in the little jumping puzzle that goes across. Mm-hmm. It's pretty big. Yeah. But it doesn't feel as big as a Cosmodrome. Maybe it is a ship, though. That's
Yeah, I'm really worried about them giving too much stuff away in the beginning, because that first time experience is it's like going in the raid for the first time. You can't get it back. You know?
Yeah, yeah. If I wasn't doing this, you know, in the capacity I am, I wouldn't watch these streams. I'll be honest with you. I would be saving it.
I really hope that it's. The Rise of Iron package as a whole is big enough to where they can give us a lot of great information and also have a lot of surprises.
Yeah, me
down
too.
There. Yeah, that would be... That's the best scenario right there. I hope also that they add things like Court of Oryx, something like that, in this new patrol area, because Court of Oryx was such a great idea and a great community thing that could come around that ultimately ended up fizzling out because the rewards were very narrow. I really hope that there's something in that patrol area that has that kind of element where you can bring materials and spend them and then get lots of different types of rewards and all that.
You know, it was fun. It was a cool thing. It did fizzle, but I don't think that was necessarily a failing. It was just a cool thing that doesn't have to last forever. It's not like Prison of Elders.
Forever.
It's not like Prison of Elders where it's supposed to be endgame content, you know?
So it could have offered an angle to get lots of different unique weapons and gear. Instead, it was just artifacts. And I honestly felt like it fell short on that. Like, oh, it's just artifacts. Well, you could have had like a specific scout rifle that could have dropped from one of those tier 3 bosses and a specific...
Oh, like each one of those bosses could have like a specific legendary
mm-hmm.
loot drop because, that was rare. That'd
yeah,
because cool.
I've had all these antiquated runes, and I'm like, might as well start dismantling them.
Yeah, I delete them too. Yeah,
aww. Yeah. I know,
yeah,
right?
Aww. I like the I love the concept of Court of Oryx, and I would love something like that, being able to spawn mini bosses, in the Plaguelands through some reason. I'm sure they'll figure it out. Is my internet messing up again? You guys are quiet.
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
We're just listening with anticipation.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, you're gonna be disappointed. Yeah. Yeah, I liked Court of Oryx because of the mini boss thing, and I hope they include that as well. But there's no real reason to do it aside from initial progression. Like, you get in there, you get your stuff, and they didn't update it until the April update. The only thing to get is artifacts. I think adding unique legendaries would definitely help in there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best additions they've added to this game is those legendaries that you can get from bosses. Like, it really does increase the replayability of the game in a very significant way, because not only are you hoping for a drop, but you're hoping for repeated drops over time, hoping for a good roll.
For that roll.
Yeah, so it's really one of the smartest things they've added to this game, because I never ran strikes before the Taken King. Like, never, ever ran the Vanguard playlists. And now I go in there, and I run them.
Yeah, there's a chance you might get that particular drop.
Yeah.
That Imago or something.
That's the only reason I do Nightfalls, really, anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a good drop here?
What's the Nightfall again this week? I haven't run the Nightfall.
It's
in like
the
4 weeks.
Alec Hole, the Dark Blade. Cool.
I can pass again.
Dark Blade's easily one of the best strikes, though.
Oh yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
I absolutely adore the Dark Blade. I think that's probably my favorite of the new strikes that came out. And mechanically, there's not a hell of a lot going on in it. It's just they nailed the tone.
Yeah, it's just a fun strike.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
used to hate that streaker room.
Mm-hmm.
Streaker room. But now it's become like kind of a fun part of the room because we just try and race through it.
Yeah.
Like the whole fire team just tries to run through it without getting dead. And then whoever makes it gets to celebrate on the other side while the other ones have to wait.
Everyone else. Yep.
Yeah, it's also one of the coolest visual parts, too. After you pass that room and you go on that bridge, and it's huge, mm-hmm. and you see the bells that are also in the raid and all that. Or those, whatever they're called, the pendulums, those giant pendulums in there. That's like, design-wise, it really is one of the best ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the only thing is, I wish we could go see... I wish we could go, see all those other bells and see what's inside those other prisons. Go jump around on those for the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. Have you guys looked at there's a really small part of the community that enjoys kind of breaking the game by like going and exploring the areas that were not meant to go to. So they're just going and exploring the leftover trash files, essentially. In the Dreadnought, and there's some really cool stuff there. There's some really cool stuff in that. And frankly, in the rest of the game too, they found some extra areas underneath Earth that might be like potential thing for Rise of Iron. I still doubt it personally. It looks like just kind of extra stuff that was added that could have been. That could have, should have been some mm-hmm. other stuff for Taken King. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. You guys should go check out all that stuff. Plus, you'll find occasionally some really funny things. Like, leftover prop, make sure to delete. And, like, that's literally what it just says on top of it.
Oops.
Oops. And then the patch notes deleted the prop that's called leftover prop. Be sure to delete.
Summer Games Done Quick was running last weekend. I don't know if you guys watched any of that. I was watching a Fallout 4 run where pretty much like the speed run consists of like breaking the map. It's like using items to like elevate yourself, get outside of the map, and then run around like the top of the map to get to where you need to go to bypass everything.
Yep. Yeah.
I wonder how much of that could be done in Destiny, because I got a feeling there's quite a bit.
I wonder.
Right?
I did a little bit of it in the beta and then really early game. And yeah, basically once you kind of get out of the map, you can get on top of other parts of the geometry and basically freely run around until you, of course, hit the actual walls of the level.
Yeah. Like I've done it in the lighthouse a couple of times. In Mars, I've done it a couple of times. And Tefty, I know you used to do it in the Vault of Glass a little bit, right?
Yeah, that was one of my earlier videos. Was like getting beneath the floor of the Templar.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's certain places that you can jump down to get in there. That was a lot of fun. Also exploring how far you can go around. Seeing where those kill boxes are. Like how low can you get until you reach that kill box from certain rocks around the jumping puzzle and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I like that stuff a lot. I kind of wish I still did it.
Yeah,
because it's almost like a meditation finding something unique about the map.
It's really cool to see an area and go, you know, I bet they're going to add on to that at some part in the game. And in the beta, we got into what is now the Fallen Saber Strike. That big door down there. We were able to. You could basically just die really close to the wall and then have someone res you, and you'd res on the other side of it.
Oh, that was one of the areas that everybody was complaining about was unfinished. And
yeah, well, it was unfinished,
it was cut from the game, cut content. DLC. Like,
did you really want... Because I've been in there. I was in there in the beta, and also...
There was nothing in there.
And there was nothing. It was an empty cave. It would be the equivalent of just them having... the cave and or the grotto's cave, and it's like, okay, there you go, there's your content. I don't know what you want us to do there. There's got to be those doors though, right?
If you expect to expand a world or expand an area, there's got to be those doors that currently lead to nothing, but eventually could be opened and lead to something awesome, like that big black door in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely, right?
Yeah. You got to have those doors.
Yep.
Yeah, or when, you know, I'm always interested in what is going to show up by Lord Saladin or opposite of Lord Saladin. Because you see those holes out there in that courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has the entire courtyard by himself.
Yeah. Well, we used to get the Queen's bounties there. Or we did that once.
That one time. That one time, the ship was at the very end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that.
And then cool looking.
It was, yeah. I was excited to see what other type of events are going to show up in that courtyard.
Yeah, but I always expected something too. Yeah,
yeah. It's just been Saladin off to the right hand side.
Now with Rise of Iron, I half wonder if he's going to move over to the new area, and like there will be nothing in that area in the tower.
Yeah, that poor courtyard. It's so beautiful. Also, you have to go in there for that ghost if you want to get the ghost in there.
Maybe they should have like a weekly rave every Friday night. There's a rave up there.
Yeah, you
sparklers and.
There's so much room for activities up there. They need to make some use out of it. Plus, it has the best view in the tower.
Yeah,
that's one of the charms of it. It's Iron Banner. Cool, I can go see the mountain range behind the tower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope they do something with that because the only thing that it's been used for was that and then a Queen's event.
Literally, that's Queen's Wrath. One Queen's event and then Iron Banner every month. That's it.
Yeah, that Queen's event was clearly supposed to be something more than that.
Yeah, I think, and fortunately, they're good at realizing that too, because they released it, and then they're like, "Oh shit, yeah, this." I believe the phrase they used was, "We're gonna put that back in the oven for a while." And then, like a year later.
Yeah, I'm sad that they did that though, because like even though we reacted so abrasively as to it was just missions with modifiers with different rewards. Now I'm like, I would love that event. Love that event to come back to get different rewards for a type of mission.
Yeah. One of my hopes for Destiny going into the future is they do increase the number of monthly events, like regular recurring events. Because, you know, I know a lot of people hate Iron Banner, but I love it. I really enjoy when Iron Banner comes around. Speaking of, it's coming back next week already. But, like, you know, Iron Banner coming around is awesome. Trials of Osiris being around for part of the week, but not the rest of the week. I miss it when it's not around. And, you know, I like it when it's here. You know, so Yeah. It adds this kind of ebb and flow of my daily activities in Destiny, which I really enjoy. I hope they add more things to that list of rotations.
Yeah.
And not yearly rotations like,
right? Like the
Crimson Doubles or SRL.
Yeah.
This Christmas, get your SRL on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want that hallway, that courtyard to be filled out. I really want like lots of different vendors to have some interesting things that, you know, that vendor shows up and you get to go turn in whatever materials you've been collecting for a month or whatever to get mm-hmm. some sort of reward, you know?
Yeah. Like, maybe put a barber up there.
Yeah.
Thought.
I feel like that's behind the big black doors.
Armor crafting center, maybe?
Man, a barber in that area, the rent would have to be crazy.
Yeah, but think of that view, getting your haircut with that view. Come on.
I don't know what it's like to get a haircut, but
that's like a 2000 Glimmer haircut right there. No problem.
Dude, you're paying for the view, not for the haircut.
Hey, it's all about location, exactly. location.
Location, right?
Yeah, so Iron Banner is next week. Sniper rifle.
Quick turnaround on Iron Banner.
Yeah, sniper rifle and pulse rifle available. I think after this time, I think it's only going to show up one more time. And then one more time.
Hold up. It's the 14th right now. If it shows up again on the 14th in August, then it could show up. Well, I know.
Yeah, that's right. It could theoretically show up on the 14th or around that time in September.
Yeah.
And they could do the Iron Banner leading into the Rise of Iron, which could be kind of cool.
They might do
that. Maybe that's why it's early this month, is to change that schedule.
Maybe. That's definitely possible. They might do that. I'm leaning more on the side that they might actually cut the events for the month of September as they gear up to whatever they're going to start, you know, releasing.
That could be.
They're probably going to have like 2 weeks of like prep time where the things are changing in the Cosmodrome and, you know, there's wolves on the prowl.
Yeah, heralding events are always really, really cool. I liked what they did before Dark Below, House of Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Was there really a heralding event for the Taken King?
Didn't the Taken start showing up around the Cosmodrome? And
no,
yeah, Taken started showing up. Yeah, yeah, remember that?
Did they?
Yeah, there was a bounty that showed up where.
There was the bounty, but that only appeared like once every 2 hours after clearing all of the bounties on Earth, and then it showed up as a.
Thought it was random.
It was really random. It was random, but it showed up. But then the mobs were all level 40, like they weren't our level, so it was really difficult to.
So maybe it was a mistake that they did that.
I think it was like they did it correctly, but it was just they're like, well, they're going to be
Crucible previews too.
Crucible previews. That's what was it? That was
that was awesome. And the 1 week meta.
Yeah, it's nice looking back.
Rip the 1 week meta.
Oh, I love that 1 week meta. So good.
It was so fun, man.
For some reason, hand cannons were just perfectly viable still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Control is coming back also.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be Control. Cool. Yeah. I can actually play a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's Iron Banner. I don't want any of the weapons this time around, so it's like, I don't know.
Have you guys played any Control since they updated the matchmaking?
Yes, and I play Clash now to get footage for videos.
Really? It's that bad for you?
Yeah. Every time I play, the games are not filled. So it's like 4 people versus 5 people, which, you know, whatever.
That's annoying.
It's annoying, but, you know, it's still a game. But then every single game has at least 2 to 3 red bars per team.
Really?
On a match that has like 4v5 people.
A solo queue, I get at least one, if not 3 red bars in that game. When I was playing
on
Xbox.
In Control. You're
in Control.
In Control.
In Control specifically.
So when I was playing it a few days ago, I thought that the match... so you guys need to correct me if I'm wrong on this. I thought the Control settings were applied. And that's what... They didn't change... Or, I mean, they didn't like take them off. But people in my chat were saying that no, it was just for the afternoon.
It was for me. It's just for the afternoon. They did it once, and they're like, "Hey, we messed something up. We're gonna try this again tomorrow." And they did it, quote unquote, tomorrow. And then then they reverted it back. I think they were just trying out some new settings during.
I didn't understand that.
I don't believe.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. And Pat, that's my exact experience right now in Control as well. I was just like, But for super close games.
Yeah, but for me, Clash is fine. Like Clash is fine. I don't get red bars. You know, there's plenty of people.
So God damn, it was red bar heaven last week in Iron Banner, man. It was fucking terrible.
That's just because it's Iron Banner.
you'd think with the increased player population of Iron Banner that you'd find less red bars.
Maybe.
That matchmaking algorithm, primo.
Maybe enough people are playing that it still kind of messes with it because, I don't know.
I do wonder sometimes because during the Bungie bounty, which we'll talk about after we finish up this conversation, mm-hmm. When I was trying to queue in there, the eval and the matchmaking times were just going crazy because I'm sure people were leaving and then jumping back in. But it does make me wonder if like at a certain point, too many people are matching, mm-hmm. it like freaks out. It's like, options.
I have no idea
what do I do with all these options?
I have no idea what the matchmaking settings are. You know, they're gonna keep trying to improve it, and it's you have to realize that it's really difficult to improve the matchmaking settings when the player base is also shrinking.
Yeah.
Like that's a very difficult task because less of a player base. Sorry, I just woke up before this podcast. Please never
take a nap.
I took a nap and that nap turned into a mm-hmm. sleep.
Yep. It's the dreaded pitfall of a nap.
You're like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's been 3 hours.
It's been oh boy. Well, hope I didn't have to do a video for that Bungie Weekly or that.
Yeah, lucky update. For you, it came out like 10 minutes before the podcast started.
Oh, really? Oh, nice, nice. I timed that well,
right? But back to the matchmaking thing, though. Actually, we're probably still on it. Anyways, when I did play it that afternoon,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and I was solo queuing in it, I think it was better.
I thought it was better too. I haven't played a whole lot since that day, but it felt better. Such a small sample size, better. Though. Who could?
I know it felt better, and then I came back to control, and I was thinking, "Oh, it changed." But obviously, it went back to the previous settings, and I was like, "Why am I getting red bars? Why are these sweaty connections?" Blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, "God, these connections."
I actually had really good games this week. For
Clash though.
For Clash, for my, for that weapon testing series, like
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Clash was fine, and you know, for the purposes of me getting footage, and I need games to play in, and it worked. The only nice. Games where like I had red bars, it was because that person just had the worst internet on earth, and then they would get disconnected from the game as well.
Well, so much of my playtime in the Crucible is the daily or the weekly playlist. Like, whatever happens to be the daily. You know, if I'm streaming that day, I'll just grab a bunch of people and we'll do our bounties in the daily or we'll do it in the weekly, depending on what the weekly is. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if... one of the reasons I think that I don't complain about lag as much as you guys do is because I do tend to stick to those two playlists so frequently mm-hmm. that I don't think I run into it as much as you guys because I don't go into... I rarely will go into Control when it's not the featured playlist, or Clash when it's not, or gotcha. Skirmish when it's not the featured playlist.
I never look at the weekly or daily.
Yeah, I don't either. That's what I'm looking for those, you know, the points from it, the legendary marks. Yeah. And, you know, it's fun to be constantly switching it up. The only playlist I really go into frequently is Rumble. But then I'm doing it, obviously, solo queued, and I always felt like Rumble is an easier thing to matchmake because it is only single people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it typically is, too.
Yeah, it's the Tinder of the Crucible.
Nice.
Yeah, you're right. I never look at the daily of the Crucible. Rarely. And that might be why.
Yeah, to do the bounties, you always have to do the daily.
Yeah.
You know, the bounties are always the daily.
They mash up.
Yeah.
I'm also working on the Mountaintop Quest now on the Xbox One.
Ooh.
Because...
How's that treating you?
It's, you know, it is what it is.
If you have like three people or two more people, you can easily hammer all of it out in in one play session.
Yeah, because I took a break. Let's see, I was actually pretty early on the list, I think, so I had to like break it apart. But I'm now like almost done with it on the Xbox, which is nice. Well, not almost done. I still have the factions that I have to go through. So yeah, I'm experiencing a lot of Xbox Crucible this week.
It's nice to get that done too, to get those bounties from Shax. I like having those bounties available.
You know what else is nice? Getting that sword too. Finally got the Razor Lighter in the Xbox.
You finally got it. I still got to get the solar kills to get it.
Yeah, I knocked out the material gathering and I got the solar kills. Too. I knocked those out in 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
I know. I was like, I played the new Black Ops Zombies, and then I wanted to do that. And then I was like, man, Arms Day is in 3 hours. Do you think I can actually farm these materials and kills before Arms Day? And everybody's like, yeah, right. 3 hours? No way. And I was like, normally I would never stream something this boring. But we are going to try to get this done. And did it in 2 hours.
Nice. I find that chat doesn't really mind if I'm streaming something boring, because if I'm doing something boring on the screen, that means I'm also being more interactive in chat anyway. Whereas if I'm if I'm going super hard, try hard, sweaty in trials, the chat interaction suffers.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's actually one of the reasons why sometimes I don't really like playing trials, is because the chat interaction just... Like, it's either try to help your team or be a good chat interactor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I just finished up the state... I finished all of the primary weapons for my State of the Weapon video series.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most surprising weapon out of all of them, because you have to try out every single archetype, again, just to, you know, make sure... Slow rate of fire scout rifles for both PvE and PvP.
They're badass.
PvP.
Yeah. Yeah. 0.8 second time to kill. 3 headshots. Yeah.
I kind of forgot about how good they are in PvP. And then just, you know, they're okay in PvE. I think I still prefer the medium rate of fire scouts for PvE. But the slow rate of fire ones for PvP, they're that perfect, you know, high risk, high reward primary. Where it's feasible to kill in their fastest time to kill. Like, it's completely feasible to do that. 2 headshots and a body shot, boom. And you can wipe someone out.
Nice. Yeah, Colovalence is... I mean, a lot of people got God Roll Colovalence's duties last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you got Hidden Hand on that thing, it really makes a tremendous difference to how easy it is to use
to get those
headshots.
The Quickitus, I like the Omalon one. It has a little bit higher base stability.
Then
I got the Gunsmith one from like 2 weeks ago that had brace frame on it as well. So basically max.
I never find that I need that much stability on those because they fire so slowly anyway.
I don't know. I think for me, the stability on it is purely so I don't overcorrect. I can hit the fastest rate of fire without accidentally moving from a headshot to, say, a body shot from pulling down too much. But, yeah, like, you don't really need it, but it definitely can make your shots a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, the thing about those, though, if you miss a shot, you know, your time to kill just went up to 1.2 seconds. Mm-hmm. If you miss 2 shots, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, right. You're not winning.
Back it up.
Yeah.
And there's
so much time between shots that even if you hit 3 headshots, the time it takes for each one of those headshots to hit is nearly a half a second. It's 0.4 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that is very much enough time for many snipers to go, whoop, pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, man, it's like, it's super frustrating sometimes to use those.
Yeah, I used it a little bit on the Xbox, and I put it away because I'm not a fan of the slow fire rates. Like, I don't use the Hawkmoon.
Yeah.
I feel like the Hawkmoon is slower for me. But I have noticed I've been getting killed by it a few times. I've been like, maybe I do need to pull it out. Maybe pull up the Jade Rabbit.
I still don't like Jade Rabbit. The sights, the sights, and the really jumpy nature of the...
I can't believe you would say this in front of me, man. This really hurts.
Well, no, I like the archetype.
Smart hating on the Rabbit Man.
Yeah, Jade Rabbit, I feel, is better suited for PvE. It's a much better PvE weapon.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot in PvP, but it's got to be on the right map.
Hold on, let me add Robbie V to the call real quick.
Yeah, right.
the Jade Rabbit meta himself.
Apparently that guy likes that gun. All right.
It's a great weapon to pair up with any of the slower rate of fire weapons are great to pair up with a fusion rifle or a sidearm or a shotgun because you got all your ranges covered. And if you're just bored with using a sniper rifle constantly, it's a nice change-up, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a shotgun. Constantly.
Yeah. I like running it with a fusion rifle. I think it makes for an interesting build, yeah.
We'll have to try that for a bit. I'll have to bust out, a Plan C and then use a... use one of those hot. Well, you said
Plan
the cactus.
C is so fucking good.
Coquitus, however it's pronounced. Yeah. I really enjoy that particular scout rifle. What other weapons from primaries actually kind of took me by surprise? Medium rate of fire auto rifles are in a really, really good spot, actually. And I think the only reason that they don't see as much play is that the ranges that they're good at are right where people are comfortable starting to counter snipe you in medium range.
Mm-hmm.
People are running Doctrine and then the sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So the medium rate of fire autos are just a little bit too outclassed there. What else? Yeah. The other thing that I liked about scouts is that it's the only primary that actually the three archetypes are actually different from each other in time to kills. Well, not time to kills, but in number of shots, and then it's actually feasible to hit those number of shots to make the time to kills, consistent in PvP. In PvE, they all have their different little quirks, and then they all just feel good. Yeah, scouts are in a really good spot, and I hope they don't really touch them at all.
Yeah, I like the relationship they've got right now with scouts and hand cannons. Whereas before, there's no reason to use a scout because hand cannons were good at all ranges and they did more damage. So why mm-hmm. use it? Yep. Now they really have two different uses, and I like that about it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find? Did you do one on pulse rifles?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah. Did one for every single primary.
Was it use the fastest firing rate you can find?
Not the fastest fire rate, but yeah, Grasp of Malak and Hawksaw for PvP are just absolutely dominant. Arguments could be made that the Nurwin's Mercy types are really good for PvE because it doesn't take a full headshot burst to kill something to kill tier one mobs in PvE. It only takes part of one. Their damage is still really good on tier two mobs if you need to kill one. But all across the board, these slowest rate of fire ones, you're just hurting yourself by using it.
But it seems no to right to. Now, it's the faster the rate of fire goes, it doesn't matter because they all kill in the same number of bursts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just want the fastest fire you can find.
Pretty much. I think.
Which is Grasp of Malak.
I think Grasp of Malak, you're basically going to take four bursts. It's going to take four bursts to kill with that one. I think you need kind of low armor to actually die in the three burst headshot with that. But still, for practicality's sake, it's going to be four bursts.
Yeah.
Hawksaw.
Nurwin's Mercy coming back is nice to see, but unfortunately, it's just not as good as it used to be.
I used it, and every single encounter, I was just saying, I wish I had Hawksaw. Because
you would have gotten this done quicker.
I would have gotten this done much quicker. I wouldn't have died to the shotgun rusher.
I think it would be wise for if you guys are out there thinking the Nurwin's Mercy not good, throw away some of these that drop. I think it would be wise to collect up some god rolls.
Yeah,
because
it could definitely
change in the next 3 months to where these slower fire rate pulses get another.
I feel like slower rate of fire pulses will get some sort of damage pass. Because
that's not that slowest rate of fire either, right? Nurwin's is kind of a step below that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could still foresee
You mean super slow and then
super slow and then the medium slow. I could see both of those getting some sort of damage pass. And I really hope it's not the other way around, where the two fastest rate of fire ones get a damage nerf. I really hope that isn't the case.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Because the fast rate of fire ones feel like perfect. If you hit your shots right, you're rewarded for it. If you only hit bodies, you're kind of punished for it.
Yeah,
as well.
That's how I feel about it. Every time I'm using a grasp and I'm using it properly, I'm rewarded for those headshots, and it's good. If somebody catches me and I try to turn around and get those headshots on them, I'm usually dead if they have a good aim. So I feel like it's in a good spot if you're hitting headshots.
Yeah, the thing I like about it is the slowest ones are so close to being good as well for both PvE and PvP. And if there is just a little bit more reason to use them, like maybe be it a little more damage, maybe up their handling speed a little bit too, something, I don't know, but yeah, if they're so close to being useful as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Nerwin's Mercy is still good. It just can't. It can't kill as fast.
Yeah, it can't kill as fast.
And have that time to kill.
And anytime you're using it, it's like, oh, Hawksaw, that's a thing. Yeah.
There was that short pulse rifle meta where that thing was just fucking. It was good.
Mm-hmm. If the you had a good roll on it, man. Being trash.
Yeah.
Yep. So
also the ranges also on those pulses just have. It just seems like they have like almost scout
they
rifle range.
They have minimal fall off. Like
is that what it is?
That's what it feels like. Yeah. Even on like a low range PDX-45 or Hawksaw, even on a low range variant of those, you're not going to see any huge damage number fall off.
The base range on the grasp is pretty high too.
Yeah, and plus the base range on them are all pretty good. So yeah, you're not really punished for going for low range on those either. So what's coming up next in the series? It might take me like a little bit longer than a week to do this one because I want to get a couple different variety of weapons, but I'm going to be doing sidearms.
It's the weapon you pull out when you want to have a challenge. Be like, Drake's promised trials card. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's have some fun.
Mm-hmm. No,
we already got our lighthouse visit, so we don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, Drake's promised it.
Yeah, I liked. I need to get a bunch of different. I think I might just end up going over to ye old new Monarchy vendor and leveling up with some motes, grind some different sidearms. Yeah,
the Conviction, is that what it's called from New Monarchy?
Yeah,
Conviction.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that one.
Yep. But yeah, it's so difficult to talk about the different archetypes without just listing each one that's in the different archetypes of sidearms, because you can't tell by looking at the stats. You just can't tell. Even when you look up the stats in the database, they all have like the same impact, and they all have like the same rate of fire. The only thing, and it varies by like one. So you're like, what the hell does that even mean? And then you basically have to look at the magazine size. And if that doesn't work, you just have to shoot it against a wall and figure out how fast
you
can fire
with it.
What it's
actually doing
different.
Yeah. Have you noticed? Actually, you probably don't because you don't use shotguns. But I think a lot of people were talking about Conspiracy Theory D having a wider spread than Party Crasher Plus One.
That's my understanding as well.
Yeah, Party Crasher Plus One seems to have a tighter focus, which is interesting that would be built into the model.
See, I want to cover fusion rifles and shotguns in the state of the weapon video, but you guys know I don't use those weapons. So I feel like it would just be really stupid of me to cover those because I didn't use them extensively enough in year one to kind of talk about their history. I don't use them in year two because I know what I like.
Because you're not part of the dark side, obviously.
I like the immediate satisfaction of sniping, or I like the immediate damage of a sidearm.
You're still...
I don't know, Tefty. I've tuned into a couple of your streams recently, and there seems to be a certain shotgun getting run as primary an awful lot lately.
I have Darth Tefty has arisen. I don't care at this point. I'm just like, you know what? This is so effective.
It's fun, too.
This universal remote. It is fun.
It is fun.
Like, boom. Proc crowd control. Holy jeez, this is better than a party crasher. Awesome. And then, or you could do, actually, the shoddy sniper combo is really fun. It's a fun playstyle. Mm. I just can't really do, I don't use blink anymore with it, and I do miss blink. Because blink, you can't do that, like, that jumping above the doorway type of thing with a shotgun.
Oh, sure.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm going to wait on, I don't think I'll be doing a State of the Fusion Rifle or a State of the Shotgun just because, I don't know, I feel like those videos should be...
Because you're Luke Skywalker.
Oh, no, those videos should be done by someone who actually uses the damn things.
Mm-hmm. And, that makes sense.
But for snipers and sidearms, yeah, I can speak to
them. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, so there's two videos that came out this week that all of you guys need to see. I showed you guys one of them before the podcast.
Yes, it was great.
It mashed did a animation of was it Crucible Rage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Destiny Taken King Crucible Rage.
Ah, jeez, there it is. I had it pulled up on another tab, and I was really surprised when this finally came out because it was like he sent me the script quite a while ago, and I thought they abandoned it because like the April update fixed a bunch of the issues, and I was like, oh wow, that sucks. To have a project done. She said no. I was like, no. Oh, yep. Well, we're back in the perfect time for that video to come out. And the other video that everyone needs to see is the Sherry's Berries video.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I brought that up, Tefty.
Bolts.
I brought it up.
What are you doing?
I'm pasting this into the
What is this?
Oh,
I thought you were my friend.
Oh, it's glorious. Oh, it's great.
I'm going to kill Kenny Freeman and Peeps. I'm going to murder them in their sleep.
Oh, that is awesome.
Dude, it's hilarious. This is a funny video. And it's not just because like I recognize you and memes in it. It's because... it's a good video. It's a good. I'm laughing more because it is you and memes in it. But you know, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. All the comments are talking about
night.
You.
Thank you.
All the comments in this video. All the comments are about you and the
My friend got hired to do some web commercials, and he asked memes and I. He was like, "Hey, you want to be in one of them?" We're like, sure, yeah, that sounds cool, whatever, funny. And
this
so
is,
we,
this is like back
that.
In 2009. Like, this is a long time ago.
It was, too. Yeah. It was like, yeah, like 2000, whatever 2009 is. That's 7 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that.
It's just just after 2008, before 2010.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you brought that up, man.
I was like, thank you so much video. For doing that. Thank you so much.
Video? Peeps and Kenny. You were dead. They're the one that found it while I was playing Witcher 3, and I was like,
oh, no.
Sherry's Berries. As soon as it said Sherry's Berries in chat, I was like,
oh, no.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
Let me Skype this over to Ryan real quick.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Maybe we can put that on the Planet Destiny page. I don't think they'd mind,
maybe
right?
Maybe
advertising.
Yo, how about we just get a Sherry's Berries sponsorship?
Right? Announcing our new sponsor.
Sherry's Berries.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Tefty will obviously have to do the ad read on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm done with the podcast. I'm out.
Tefty's like, Tefty's just burning his modem. Tefty's burning his modem. He's done.
Yeah.
You guys want to do some Twitter questions?
Yeah, I think it's about time we can move some Twitter questions. It's a light week on the podcast, but before we do, we need to talk about Blue real quick. Yeah. And I promise, guys, there's some more ad copy coming because I bet you guys are like reading along with me here every single week now, because no doubt you've noticed these wild mics and headphones that we are using, They're just some of the iconic gear that Blue creates. Blue's award-winning products are the driving force behind professional musicians, internet creators, and countless elite gaming teams and Twitch streamers. Their Yeti USB mic is the internet's most popular microphone, and their MoFi and Lola headphones deliver insane sound and a personalized fit. Blue offers everything you need to completely immerse yourself in the ultimate gameplay experience. Learn more about Blue at bluemic.com.
Damn. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
That was a good read. It. Good read.
I've already talked to the guys at Blue, and I was like, hey, can we get a little bit more ad copy? Not that, you know, I like the current ad copy. It's fine. But, you know.
What if they're like, why don't you? What's wrong with the current one?
I was like, oh, you know, just people are probably, you know, this is like the 12th, 13th, 15th, I think, episode that we use the same ad copy.
Tune it
out a little bit. You could get some new copy in there.
All right. At Currency Destiny, do you think Destiny 2 will be an expansion and added to Destiny 1 or a completely new game with new servers?
Servers? Did you say?
Well, there's servers for like the actual.
No, I know.
Magic
database
game.
Servers. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just going to be an expansion. I think that we're just gonna see more of an expansion type thing, similar to World of Warcraft or something, where it's not. Yeah, where it's not like Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3. It's just going to be, you know, kind of just this building world.
I strongly disagree. I think it's going to be a sequel. I do think you'll be able to move your character forward, but I think it's going, and I think it will have a lot of the same areas in it, but I think you will be able to play Destiny 1 on Destiny 1 servers, but Destiny 2 will be a new and unique product, hopefully with an upgraded engine, hopefully with 60 frames per second, hopefully with dedicated servers, custom matchmaking, much bigger patrol areas. Like, they've left last gen behind. They can develop the code based on next gen, current gen, and looking forward to next gen. I want to see brand new subclasses. I want to see crafting. I want to see all sorts of new systems that they could never put into Destiny 1. I want to see a brand new game.
Okay.
So I'm like in between you guys. I'm the cream in the center. I think yes, they need to leave the current system away. Like, it's got tons of problems. It's got legacy code from last gen, which have caused a lot of problems and potentially development cycles being hindered from all that clunk in there. I want a new engine, but I don't want them to get rid of everything that we've had in this game. Like, I want Destiny 2 with 60 frames per second and dedicated servers and so on and so forth, but I don't want them to completely wipe the slate, like, completely clean. Like, I don't want to make a new Guardian, and I don't want to I don't want to lose progress that I've made. That being said, I don't want all the legacy weapons to come forward.
Right.
You know, like, or if they did come forward, I want them to be in their own area, or, you know, like a test field that you can be like, hey, remember when I had this weapon? Here it is. It doesn't really work in the current engine because it's crap, because whatever reasons Destiny 2 happened. So I don't want them, like, it also, I don't know how I feel about completely new supers. Like, there's something about Destiny that's so iconic with the supers right now that if we completely drop all these supers and get new ones, brand new ones, like, rip the days of Golden Gun and Blade Dancer and Void Walker and the Striker Titan.
Destiny 2 comes out, like, I'm not going to call it Destiny 2 just for lack of a better name, but you'll have used these ones for for some of them 3 years, for three of them for 2 years. Like, how long do you want to be using Golden Gun and Blade Dancer and Nova
Bombs
for?
Forever. Imagine this. I love Golden Gun.
I know. Great. I love Golden Gun too.
I can always slide in the disc for Destiny 1 and go back and play a Golden Gun.
Nobody's playing it.
No, I actually haven't. I haven't taken Destiny out of my PlayStation since I put it in year one.
I never put Destiny in my PlayStation.
No.
I downloaded it.
Well.
Imagine this. Destiny 2, 60 frames per second, glossy graphics.
Mm-hmm.
When you pop that Golden Gun, it looks incredible because they redid the animation and they modified some things, okay?
Okay.
So instead of what we've had already, your Fist of Havoc does some other visual effects.
Oh,
that's
man,
new.
I don't want it. I don't want it. Like, maybe keep like one legacy going forward. Maybe keep the three we have and add three more. Right, three brand new subclasses.
Six subclasses per
character? Yeah, fuck it, man. But I tell you, what Bungie has learned from Destiny, moving forward, like if they started from scratch instead of just trying to constantly readjust the current subclasses, they could do so much better as far as balance is concerned, right? You know, like with all that they've learned from the last 3 years or 2.5 years of developing Destiny, imagine what they could do. Imagine what they could do. But I don't want to be playing a Blade Dancer or a Golden Gun or a Night Stalker for 10 years. I just don't. I mean, it's going to get old.
And then
I don't know. What about with WoW, right? Like those classes have gone for the whole life cycle, right?
Yeah. I find WoW incredibly boring.
Yeah. With WoW, the best one of the best DPS specs in the game has been Destruction Warlock. And
It was Warlocks.
And the comparison to WoW doesn't really work because that's an MMO, and this is not an MMO.
Well,
it does not work.
No, as far as specs go, some things do. Specialization.
We don't even know if we're gonna get a brand new game. I mean, this is so questionable at this point. We have no idea if we're getting a brand new game or an update. We have no idea, right? Is Destiny 2 gonna be the form of a DLC? We have no idea. So if it is like a full reboot of the game, you know, moving forward, like that, I mean, that really breaks the MMO comparison. If it's an update, then I could see the MMO comparison moving forward, but
I don't think it would necessarily break it. It just depends on what data gets tossed and what data gets brought forward.
I would love to bring my emblems forward. I'd love to bring my class items forward. I'd love to bring all the cosmetic stuff forward and my grimoire score forward. But god damn it, I want fresh and new. I want new stuff. I want to learn new subclasses and learn new.
I can't imagine the game being without those subclasses though. Like the lore, there's the lore behind those subclasses. You know, there's things that are baked into the game that if you just suddenly there's no more gunslingers in the world, you know, it's like, do you want to beat puppies, Briar? Is that what you want to do?
I don't understand how this got to beat puppies. I just want freshness. I don't want to be doing the same shit I did in the beta.
Well,
in 6 years.
I think that's always going to be part of. I mean, it's an FPS, so you're always going to be shooting shit at the very least.
Right.
Change the periphery. Well, as far as the classes, I can see them keeping the same kind of the same three classes that we currently have for each character.
I can see them doing it too. I just don't want them to do it.
Yeah.
I want to see significant changes. If they do keep Gunslinger, Blade Dancer, Night Stalker, I at least want to see these things change significantly.
Like, yeah, I mean,
in big, dramatic ways.
The reason Tefty brought up the WoW comparison is, you know, yes, it's an MMO, but it's one thing that's something that they kind of did very well, where, you know, each new big large expansion kind of reworked every single class in some sort of way in every single spec. Like if you were playing a Beastmaster Hunter, you pretty much always had a spec where you worked around with your pet over, say, you know, using your ranged weapons more. Your ranged weapons were kind of an afterthought, whereas you were kind of micromanaging your pet some. I know that's a gross oversimplification of it. Rogues, always subtlety was always a PvP spec. Well, every spec was PvP at some point. But, like, combat was using swords and stuff, kind of going for all-out damage. Subtlety was for more, like, control. Assassination was kind of a hybrid between the two, and that's the way it's kind of always been. And then every single time a new expansion came out, there was, you know, more tools, more tricks added to each one of those, where it still kept the identity of those original subclasses, but it kind of expanded. So, you know, I could very well see in 10 years we're still casting Golden Gun, but there's going to be some significant changes to what happened to the choices that we have in our subclass for our Golden Gun spec. There could be significant changes to a bunch of the other stuff to our to the neutral game inside the subclasses. So, you know, 10 years from now, if you keep playing the entire time, you're probably not going to notice the changes as much. But mm-hmm. if you then remember back to what it was like in year one, the subclasses do feel fairly basic. There's not a hell of a lot of build opportunities between them. But then again, look, like, say, 2 or 3 years from now, there could be, you know, six more rows of nodes added to the end of each subclass. Yeah. And you have way more opportunities to you know, make your subclass.
We get a pet column that you spec out your pet for your subclasses.
I want a rabbit.
There you go, right? I feel like the supers in Destiny are so iconic. There's so much identity. They're iconic. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They're iconic.
The game was built and marketed around those supers. So
yeah, live action, like Fist of Havoc hitting the ground. He's like, whoa, I want to play that game. You know, like they can't wipe that stuff and bring brand new for Destiny 2 and be like,
yes, they can.
New.
All they got to do is show new cool supers, man. They can absolutely do that. Just show me some new hype supers, and I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to do that. I've been doing Golden Guns for 3 years.
I think it would split the community so hard.
It does. It's a very contentious argument. I had it today in chat. I picked this question because I wanted to have it with you guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good question because it does beg the question is, where does Destiny 2 go now that last gen has dropped and there's potentially a new engine in development? Potentially, you know.
Modified anyway.
Yeah, modified. Well, I mean, they're all, you know, extensions of code that's been built on in the past and all that. But the idea of dropping everything, I can't get behind that. But I also don't like the idea of it just being a big expansion. Like that.
No. I want a sequel. I want a sequel. I'd love to see a 2 written after the name Destiny. Have them put that game out there and say, this is a new game, right? They don't have to have the 2 there, but I want them to just come out with the message, this is a new game. This is not the game that got 7s when it was released in 2014. This is a new game.
Yeah.
That's what I would love to see.
Briar, I'm gonna Photoshop an image up for you real quick here, just to satisfy this part of the argument. Okay, give me a little bit. Okay, we can go on to the next question. I got clickety clack at Photoshop here.
Okay. Next question is at CRice298. Are sniper rifles getting easier to use, or is everyone that good?
You know what happens when you use something over the course of time? You tend to get better at using it.
So everyone's getting that good?
No, everyone's just kind of like learning how to use everything properly. And yeah.
I got to say, if everybody was using Irene or Ephrodite Spear, I don't know. It's more difficult, honestly. It is more difficult to say like Ambush Scope and Ephrodite Spear than Short Gaze with a Hidden Hand longbow. I think there is a skill gap right there. That being said, Holtz is right. The more you use the snipers in Destiny, the better you do get at them, for sure.
Frankly, the more you use the Irene, the better you're going to be with the longbow.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes the aim assist can overcompensate. And if you get too used to low aim assist, then it can really throw you off. But if you get really used to the aim assist, then it's hard to go back to the low aim assist Ephrodites and Irene.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. The Destiny community, when shotguns got nerfed, I think a lot of people moved to sniper rifles as their next gun.
Yeah.
But I do think that snipers, I don't know if they've really gotten easier to use over time, though. I'd have to like look at those numbers.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say easier to use. It's just more...
Right now, there are a lot of really good snipers available. There's the LDR, there's the longbow, there's just so many of them. You know, even going dropping down in power level, like the one you get from going to the lighthouse is superb. The one you get out of the raid is really good. Like, there's so many really good sniper rifles for PvP right now, where it used to be that there was like one or two available at any given time.
I don't have a single Helvetica font on Photoshop. What is this?
That is an abomination.
I know.
You haven't used a new computer?
Yeah, I don't
have. Do you need to get a refund?
Yeah, yeah, right?
No, I think I just need to like install a font pack. Just, you know, Destiny, I believe it's a Helvetica font. I'm over here using Arial. God.
Like a monster.
I know.
I will say, I think when it comes to threes, snipers tend to be the dominant. Mm-hmm. When it comes to sixes, shotguns are the dominant.
Oh, yeah, it definitely depends on what playlist you're in, what seems to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot more shotguns and snipers in Rumble, for instance.
Right.
At Rampant Pikachu, what would you classify the type of projectile a fusion rifle shoots? Energy? Plasma? I'm going to go with...
What kind of classification is
the projectile? Yeah, what is the projectile? Like, what is that stuff? Keep it clean, Tefty. We all know where we're going with this.
Space magic.
What? What is this, a space wad coming out of that? What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. There goes the Sherry's Berries sponsorship.
Right? Whoop.
Rip Sherry's Berries.
I think it's just pure voop. Concentrated voop. Simkuitz, anybody? Go ahead.
I was going to say it's concentrated photon particles.
Photon particles?
I like photons.
It. Yeah. At Rampant Pikachu, what would you... I just read that one. At Simkuitz, is Trials really worth it for average players? Lighthouse endgame is elusive at best. RNG seems low for top tier items.
I don't really think it's like... There's nothing out of the Lighthouse that's game changer. I mean, some people think the Doctrine is a god, but it's just another auto rifle. It tends to have a high... it tends to help with the connection problems because of its rate of fire. But honestly, there's a lot of stuff out there that can easily compete or outgun a Doctrine if you're competent on the same skill level. So I honestly don't think the Lighthouse is like rewards that you have to get. It's just... There's some vanity things that you can have. You're like, oh, I got this. I got that emblem.
Mm-hmm. You know? The emblem, the armor that comes out of there is really mm-hmm. cool. I think the Doctrine is really good. The Soul Stealers is a good replacement for it, but the Doctrine is still really good. I really like the sniper rifle. The Arminius D, even if you get like a god roll on that thing, it never has the stability that a Doctrine has.
Yeah.
Not any of the ones I've gotten.
Yeah.
I really like the sniper rifle that you get out of that. It has like maxed out aim assist. It's pretty easy to use. It's pretty cool. It comes with really good perks.
Mm-hmm.
I've been messing around with the scout rifle. I know it's not a very popular gun, but I kind of like it. It's kind of fun to use.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would kind of agree with you there. It's like, if you're not into it, man, you're not missing much. Changer. Yeah, it's just mostly it's cosmetic stuff. And exactly. Everything you can get weapon-wise can be replaced with something else.
Exactly, yep.
At Drinky, what do you think about the possibility of a SIVA-based subclass for Asgardians?
Sounds cool, but I do not think it's going to happen in Rise of Iron.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely to have a SIVA-based weapons.
Yeah.
Like they've shown. Like some sort of, maybe like the, maybe they're taking like the Taken damage thing a step further. You know how like our raid weapons and certain drops will have extra taken damage. Maybe they're taking it a step further with SIVA. So SIVA enemies with a SIVA weapon does some sort of extra damage or some sort of effect.
Mm-hmm. I like
Maybe it debuffs them. Maybe they get debuffed and take more damage from other sources. Like Slag from Borderlands 2.
I still like Say No to Rage's idea about the Darkness class for Guardians.
Did you guys see the... I think it was on Reddit. Was it last week? There was a guy that put out like a concept for a not a darkness but a God, what was the word that
corrupted
Lano used a plate decay. Decay there's a decay.
Yeah, decayed class.
There was a decayed subclass. And while I feel like every single ability on that dude's subclass was unbelievably over designed to the point that it's just impossible to like balance it. The art was cool as shit for Warlock. It was kind of like imagine, you know, like the plague doctors during the
Yeah, with the long plague noses.
Like, kind of imagine that theme for a subclass. And of course, Aileen from Bloodborne is actually a much better example. Not a huge long like nose thing, but you know, it's kind of like a crow beak helmet. Mm-hmm. He had like a scythe for a super. It was really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was a really cool concept art for the subclass. But all the abilities, like you read through the grenades and you're like, okay, this is unbelievably broken. Like every single grenade was just straight up better than everything else currently in the game.
Toss grenade out. It was like enemies for instant kill.
Yeah, basically it was like toss grenade out. If the grenade damages an enemy, that enemy can't, or if that enemy were to damage you, they're damaged instead. It's like, okay, well, that's just straight up win. There's another one where it's like it puts out some like seeker mines or something, and like you have to destroy the right one or else you take a ton of damage. So it's like, what the fuck? But yeah,
some raid mechanics.
Yeah, there's some really over engineered. So it's like, dude, grenades, like you throw it, does damage. You know, it doesn't need ultimate utility god mode stuff in the grenades.
Okay, sounds cool. I'm gonna check that out on Reddit.
Yeah, no, it's a really really well done really really well done cool. concept.
I just read that one. At Destiny Hamza, what did you guys buy from the Bungie store so far? Love the podcast. Been listening since episode one.
Awesome. Man, I really wish I got that pin, but I didn't. So sad I didn't buy the pin. I didn't even know about the pin until I think I was playing with Trevor and
I didn't know emblem. About it either. Yeah.
The emblem looks badass.
Yeah.
And I was like, where'd you get that? And he bought the pin. I'm like, I didn't even know about the pin.
I didn't know about the pin either. Yeah. I did buy the t-shirt for Moments of Triumph. I did buy the poster. And I got the 7 the emblem, which I really like.
Nice. 7 emblem was cool.
That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just got the t-shirt. Actually, I got the t-shirt and the soundtrack, so I never bought the soundtracks. So I get those emblems too.
Yeah.
I just bought the t-shirt. Didn't buy anything else.
I like that poster. I thought that poster was really cool, so I went for that one too. Oh, and I got a mug.
Nice.
It's a ceramic mug and it's got a topper thing, so you can bring it in the car. I thought it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. I feel like every time I go to the Bungie store, they never have any medium t-shirts.
Yeah. Ever. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Whenever I go there, I can never find my size either.
Oh, this shirt looks cool.
Nope.
Sold out.
Yeah. It's available in like one size and it's like 3XX.
Yeah. I'm like,
or
come on.
Or kids small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always bummed out.
I put in the check your Skype chat, Briar. I made you a Destiny 2 image just for you. Just for you.
I hate you. It's the same. It's exactly the same. You just changed.
But it has a 2 on it. It has a 2 on it. And the colors are inverted.
Nope. Well, I'll
put this on the screen.
I can't believe you wasted your time on that.
Destiny 2.
I spent more time trying to find a Helvetica font.
you need
that. Anyway. And then I went with Arial. God.
At UpHamG, to me, power matter seems pointless. Could trials be normal? Might boost population and connection issues.
Oh, God.
No. I think it can't be. Otherwise, we'd see the return of Thorn.
Thorn, Icebreaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's fine. Like that's one of the signature things about those end level PvP things is Iron Banner and Trials. Use your highest light level gear and hopefully destroy people that are just now getting into the game. Yeah, that's one of the things that I kind of enjoyed about it was that you kind of have to build it. You have to balance your light level with your.
I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't feel pointless when you're on the ass end of that equation either. Mm-hmm. When I was in Iron Banner last week on my Xbox, just trying to get packages and leveling up, I had to double shot people with a sniper rifle in the head to kill them. Two shot.
That's rough.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, you know what that is though? That's called neglect.
True enough. True enough. It was actually kind of fun. Like I would actually challenge a team to go in there at like 250 light and give it a shot, because it's actually kind of fun. Like, being that severely handicapped is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, now that we're getting towards the end of this year two, I'm definitely happy that I do have both consoles and I've put the time into it.
Yeah.
Because there's been enough content
for that,
you know, to like sort of step through it casually. Because I've definitely taken a casual approach to having two consoles. I definitely didn't raid on all the characters every week. There's no way I would have done all that. But
at least,
I'm happy
at least you kept up with it. At least you kept up with it.
It gave things to do. It really did. Like, right now I'm finishing those Moments of Triumph on the Xbox.
I'm going to jump on that, too. Last week I was kind of unsure if I was going to do it. I am definitely going to do it. We got all summer here.
Do it,
man. It'll give me something to do.
Hell yeah.
It's just, I just won't make the mistake of going after the Void Drinker with my Titan.
I still have my Xbox account that's at like light level 280, and it's like I could go play on it, but God, I can't. I just don't want to.
Just get a Chronos Max so you don't have to change controllers.
Yeah, still. I don't want to.
You're like,
nope. Do I want to spend money so I can play on another, so I can play Destiny, which I, not that I, it's not that I don't enjoy playing it, it's like it's kind of my job to play, and if I play it too much, like, oh boy, here we go.
True.
Destiny
true.
Again, so.
Yeah, you do have to pace yourself, because fatigue can definitely set in.
Yeah.
It's good to have a off-stream game, too, like I'm relaxing definitely. Game. I've been playing a lot of Uncharted lately, Uncharted 4 lately, and it's nice to just have a game to chill out with and really enjoy on your own terms.
Absolutely. I can't wait for Gwent. Gwent.
You guys should all get into Magic the Gathering, because if you have any expendable income, that will just be taken away. And then
I've got kids, so it's not an issue. No expendable income.
Briar. Get your kids into Magic the Gathering, and won't
they
have
already
money.
Did Pokemon cards. So,
well, get them into Magic the Gathering. They'll
the
never
money
have
gone.
Enough money.
Right?
No, they'll never have enough money for drugs. It's brilliant,
right? Yeah, there you go. Keep your kids off drugs. Get them addicted to Pokemon cards.
Get them addicted to that cardboard crack. Man. Oh yeah, it's great.
At Johan Jakobsen, if you nerf range on shotguns and body shot damage on snipers significantly, would it benefit primary fights?
I mean, yeah, but again, that's taking the nerf bat to... That's just reducing the overall power level of the game, which, you know, we talk about power creep. There's also, you know, power reduction, where over the course of time, you know, everything gets kind of lowered and lowered and lowered until we're basically hitting each other with wiffle ball bats and, you know, wondering why is it taking so long for everyone to die.
All right,
that happened. Remember the two damage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, update. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was exciting. It is an interesting idea, though, because primaries have been across the board nerfed, right? The time to kill on primaries has been pulled back on. And actually, I think primaries are in a good spot. You can have a good gunfight with primaries if you're having a gunfight with primaries. Shotguns feel like they've gotten a range boost because it's so much harder to take down shotguns. If they do come around a corner, especially at a high, like a rapid pace, it can be very hard to burn down a shotgunner before he gets to you, gets within shotgun range. And body shot sniper switching over to a primary and one shot in somebody is a really fast time to kill. And I think it needs to be looked at. I think that mechanic needs to be looked at.
I think body shot damage of the higher impact snipers should definitely be taken. Like, it could be lowered. Like, I think that's something that we've said on the podcast a couple times before. It's something that the rest of the PvP community is like, you know, doing what it's like 160 something, 170 something damage with 170 something damage with an LDR body shot. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
It is significant. I think the problem though is just the amount of special ammo that's in the Crucible. Honestly, Because you can keep on taking bats to it and just
and things like
range is too much here, but like it's the problem is it's just too prolific.
And in things like Trials of Osiris, there is definitely kind of that snowballing effect where if one team wins a round or something really quick at the start, they'll probably be able to just pick up the special, like right as it spawns, and then you're slowly running out, kind of losing through attrition. There.
Really annoying on Widow's Court when you got a team like just like camping somewhere.
Camping at the ammo boxes. You come for this green? Come and get it.
Mm-hmm. Or Black Shield, for that matter. That was
just fuck that map. Fuck that map.
Yeah.
Black Shield, yeah.
Agreed.
But yeah, I personally
go ahead.
Nah, I was gonna say the same thing about like I just personally think that it's the amount of ammo that's in there that causes these problems, because I still think it should be feel special. That way you have choices of when you're going to have primary fights versus like, oh, I spawn with special. Let's have a special fight. I'm out of special. Well, now I guess I'll use my primary.
All right. Abyss Walker Sif. With Rise of Iron being Iron Lord focused, what type of Iron Banner extras would you like to see as rewards beyond normal weapons, etc.? Do you guys think they're going to change up the Iron Banner with Rise of Iron? Do you think they're going to make a significant change to it? Or do you think it'll be status quo for Iron Banner?
I hope they change it. I want something different in there. I don't want them to take away and make it different and then it's not as good. Like, I want an expanded version of Iron Banner. You know, I don't know what it'd be. I have no idea, but
I don't know
either. If they did expand on it, I'd be very happy.
One of the things with Iron Banner right now is it just feels like a quick grind. It feels like it's this thing that comes in. It's like, hey, Iron Banner's here. You grind for some weapons, you know, grind for whatever armor piece. It doesn't feel like it's as interactive. I still don't feel like Lord Shax has been, you know, training us for, you know, this or whatever as far as the story part of it's concerned. I'd like a little bit more story interaction, if possible. Yeah. It would be really cool if Iron Banner was both a PvE and PvP event. That would be cool if they bring in a PvE.
That would be very cool.
I know, PvE component.
Some sort of
PvE component to it.
Yes. Oh, that would be so hot. And it came once a week or once a month with the Iron Banner.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
So then there wouldn't be. I have no idea what the PvE component could be. It could be something as simple as, you know, Iron Banner, and for that week, Heroic Strikes have some sort of extra modifier on them that's unique to Iron Banner.
I like it.
It could be something as simple as that. It could be something much more complicated where there's a specific, you know, there's a specific rotating PvP map that's been converted into some sort of PvE arena. For the Iron Banner duration, for
like a horde mode in PV,
yeah,
and a PvP
kinda like,
map,
yeah, kind of like that. Maybe. Cool. I don't know. I think a PvE component to it, maybe part of the Iron Banner is, you know, we have to go clear out the arenas that we're training in after they've been overtaken by Siva, by Siva Fallen or something, and then we have to go do like a horde mode in PvE there. Could be something as simple as that.
Take PvP maps and put a horde mode into it with PvE, like spawns and all that.
Yeah,
I love it. I love that idea. Yeah. I love the PvP with horde mode. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, the biggest thing right now is when you play Trials, it feels like its own experience where you get your card.
It's because the game mode.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's an actual game mode that's been thought about front to tail. Of how you progress through that experience. Iron Banner is literally the game mode that you play throughout the week without Iron Banner. It's just power levels are enabled and Saladin is in the tower giving you extra bounties. Mm-hmm. So the difference between regular Crucible and Iron Banner Crucible is there's just like a small percentage.
Yeah, you get different drops and more lag.
Yeah, more lag, different drops. More bounties or different bounties and light levels. And at this point, light levels don't really matter because everybody's the same light level.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't bring out a Matador 64. So it would be great if there was some sort of experience tied into it, like they do with Trials of Osiris. And if it was you do this PvE component, and then you go into the Crucible for a specific mode that they designed around Iron Banner, maybe, and then switch back and forth until you turn in your card for your Iron Banner completion.
That would be so hype, man. That would be, that is one of the things that this game so sorely lacks is PvE content that kind of keeps fresh, right? And if we had something linked to Iron Banner, that could be really cool. That could be really cool. I love that idea. I don't think that we answered the question, but that's fine. We did better. We asked a better question.
Hey, think about this. What if it was like you're guarding your Siva infected, what do you call them? But okay, there's PvE content, you fight against these enemies. What if those enemies are on your team? So you have to guard a certain amount of enemies that are on your team in this like PvP/E type of thing.
Why would you guard your enemies?
I don't know. Whatever. I'm just thinking of it. Whatever.
I would just like a horde mode on PvP maps. I think that'd be so hype, man. They already got the spawn locations. All they got to do is, instead of spawning more guardians, just spawn fucking bad guys.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be great, honestly. Horde mode and PvP maps. Wow. I dig it.
There's the axe. There's the axe relic thing.
I think that's going to
be a
relic.
Do you think we'll get a new weapon type in the next expansion? Dual weapons, maybe?
I don't think that's what he means. Expansion thus far.
He's more looking at like sidearms or something like that.
Tanking at swords. I could see some sort of new weapon coming in for sure. Yeah.
Taking King had swords.
One of the weapons that I really liked, but I feel like it should be expanded upon, too, was Dragon's Breath. I loved the area denial in a weapon package. And I think that might be really interesting to see on like a special weapon. But only maybe through an exotic, maybe through a legendary. I'm not sure how it would work out, but I don't know. I feel like that would be another really interesting area to explore in the weapon design. So, yeah. It's true.
I'm always.
That's what a sniper rifle is.
I always want to challenge that little plant, and I run the other way. Like 50% of the time, I'm always shot in the head. I'm just like,
not going here.
You expect me to pop especially out again Pantheon. If I outsnipe you, and then.
Maven Oathkeeper brought up something that I was talking about in the other day when I was streaming for some PvE footage. I think. I think one of the really cool things people were asking about, like different modes on weapons. And one thing that I thought would be really cool would maybe have a weapon manufacturer where their signature perk is like it's just a normal weapon, but then you have the option of like turning a grenade launcher on the gun that takes away your grenade charge and like uses it on the gun. So basically, you don't have a grenade anymore. You have like an underbarrel grenade launcher or something like that. And it would be whatever element your current subclass is. Maybe it would just be like kinetic damage through a grenade. And the gun itself could be, the cooldown would be affected by, you know, all your other, type of things. Something I was kind of messing around with.
That's cool. I like that.
For weapon designs. Interesting. I feel like that'd be a cool concept to maybe bring into the game.
Yeah, weapon modification attachments that are not just bubbles.
Yeah,
like but actual.
Yeah, but actual change. Things that, that could modify your character in a significant way. Yeah. Like, I don't know what. Everyone in the chat's spamming like noob two is like, well, I mean, what the hell do you call grenades in the game anyway?
Well, if they become a one hit kill,
no, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be a one hit kill.
But it's.
Oh yeah, and then when you
And then they could have like a backpack that you call it one arm.
And then if you have your grenade so charged and you died, it would actually cause a grenade to spawn on your
and maybe add a javelin
on your body,
that's
so if anyone ran over
that...
it would explode on them as well. Yeah. Oh, instead of taking and when it takes away like your melee charge, maybe it would give armor penetrating rounds to everything, so you can shoot through walls.
Now, check
this
out.
Call of Duty, man, it's a good game. Yeah.
Call of Duty, right? Check this out, though. Certain weapons, and now imagine like Red Death. When you see Red Death, you're like, I would like to puncture somebody with that, right? Right? Take away the melee charge, but it turns it into the weapon.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Melee. Yeah, plant. Like a melee with the weapon.
Red
like yeah, Red Monte
Spectre,
Carlo. Red. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Plancy has a little knife on the front of it,
too. What's the auto rifle version of the Red Death?
Imagine if you activate the mod to take away your melee charge.
Hell, the Plancy's got those spikes
on it. Special melee that's with that weapon.
Yeah,
One of the things that everyone's like, oh, I want it to be like Borderlands, where you have like a thrusting animation or something with it, like for the melee or something. But not to knock on Borderlands, but that always just, you never had that, like, proper feel of depth.
Was it
when,
visceral?
Yeah, it's just like, and it's like, yeah. Well, Destiny does a very good job of it. Like for shoulder charge, like okay, you're first person shoulder charging, but it brings you into.
It's hard to do that in first person shooters. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what it could do for like thrusting, or like maybe if that particular weapon had like a knife modifier on the front of it, it could like bring you into kind of a shoulder charge like animation real quick. For that, and it would take away your melee charge as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, Destiny does a great job in general over melees. Like you melee in this game,
a lot of games don't have that feel. It feels right in the game as well.
Yeah,
they do. It's very hard to do that in first person shooters. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Agreed. Agreed. What do you think? Three more questions.
Yeah.
Okay. We had a lot of good questions today. We've just been taking a long time. The questions were so good today that we've just been taking a long time answering them. At Kai1993, if you could choose one set of Nightfall mods and the Strike just for fun of it.
Strike and the modifiers just for fun.
So choose the Strike and the modifiers just for fun.
Small arms. Airborne. Yeah. Arcburn, small arms, airborne, on
any strike.
On any strike, any but strike. Specifically, yeah. I don't care. I just want a farmable
any strike,
Imago
I mean,
farm
that's just
for the Nightfall for 1 week. Yeah, that's what I want, because I want to try to get that Imago loop. I want to get a really good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would go the other way. I would make a really difficult one. I think I would do like the Archon Priest.
Exposure, trickle, match game. And then
I don't know what the modifiers would be. What would make the Archon
Priest that's
really
hard?
Epic or something?
Yeah. And then whatever the one that makes them not flinch.
What's
too?
The one with extra shielded enemies?
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Grounded's a great one to throw in there.
Epic, yeah. Yeah, unflinching. Yeah. Is there a reverse of secondary weapons that are more powerful?
It does.
Make heavy weapons more powerful? I don't know.
Enemies' weapons more
powerful.
Maybe
primary weapons are more powerful, because that does pull back on the effectiveness of sniper rifles, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the one I'd do, because I miss the days of really hard strikes.
That was a glorious
game. I do actually think that the Nightfall strikes are getting a little bit harder since update 2.3, with the exception of Omnigul. It seems to me, I wonder if they're, now that the Vanguard heroics are burns, I wonder if they're trying to make those like the current Nightfall difficulty,
no
and trying to make the Nightfalls kind of the older Nightfall difficulty.
Yeah, which is sad. I was hoping they were going
to. It's what special.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. It was one of the best changes they made to this game.
I can't remember the.
Oh, is it special?
They gave a list of possible modifiers for it, and each little bracket had possible things. And I think for where all the burns were, there was one, and it was like specialist. I can't exactly remember. Yeah, I think it's specialist. I think it's specialist this week. So
yeah. So there is a burn. Yeah,
I think it's specialist and airborne. So go have fun with Fourth Horseman jumping around in the air.
Right, or Angel of Light.
Yeah,
all that. Imperium Bellicose. Yeah, when was the last time we had a rainbow burn?
I don't think, year one, right? Yeah, it'd be year one. I don't believe it's in the possible perk pool anymore. I think all the burns occupy like the same section.
Year one, I would guess.
Have a rainbow one.
Yeah,
get some year one throwback.
It was fun, right? Yeah. I'm trying to think what strike it would go on.
No, we always all just use Gallahorn anyway during rainbow burn.
Rainbow was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Oh.
Mm.
I'll take a year one strike with rainbow.
Yeah, but you also had your Fatebringer.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. And I was using Ephrodite Spear. I mean, I was a damn powerful guardian. next question. At Soloist92, what do you think of a system to restrict the number of top tier perks a weapon can get?
You know, you have your first pool.
So no more god rolls.
And some weapons can't roll with like Outlaw Reactive Reload can't roll on scout rifles anymore. But I think it could only be rolled on the Scholar anyway. It might have been able to roll on something else, can't remember. I don't know, like there's already enough damn RNG in the game that your chances of getting a god roll are few and far in between. Why make it so it seems... Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't see the point of the change, really. I mean, I know it can be frustrating to like go against someone who
I
want to
leave that, that carrot out there to chase, too.
You know.
Yeah. I think some of them should be looked at like stuff that really significantly influences time to kill. Luck in the chamber on hand cannons, I think is it's a little cheesy.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a little cheesy.
You landed your shots and you got lucky. It's like, all right.
Yeah, the time to kill on that is like half of like any other weapon. Yeah. All right, last question, and this is a doozy.
I can't believe
I'm reading this.
At one point.
At II Weiss. Patrick likes eating ice cream
out
with
of your
a
mind.
Fork. Is this true, Patrick? Do you guys agree to this or
way of eating ice cream? Yeah, I did make an argument for the sake of an argument.
Is this true,
Patrick?
You're not eating ice cream
for the sake of argument.
I'll take that point.
I'll take that point again, by the way. I'll take that point again.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there any merit to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of argument.
Ice cream.
Okay.
What's better than just normal ice cream?
More ice cream.
Yes. Yes. Soft. Yeah. Soft serve ice cream as well. Because, you know, it's not soft enough. You need to get that shit into a nice,
gelatinous
mass that is even softer.
Wait, is it drippy?
No. But then, basically, the reason I liked using a fork is it's easier to take the ice cream and, like, mash it up together. And just keep mashing it until it turns into soft serve.
He likes yogurt.
So you don't like ice cream.
Not really
like
the same as ice
kind
cream.
Cold,
in fact, people who say, oh, I'm having ice cream. Oh, really?
Chocolate
milk.
Yeah,
I went to this Froyo place, and I'd be like,
oh, no, that's yogurt. That's frozen yogurt. That's frozen yogurt. No.
Yeah, I can't believe you put it in the same category. Why are you trying to make your ice cream into yogurt?
No.
What is this?
No, I'm not.
You're an animal. You don't deserve ice cream, so it's good that you didn't get
any. If I want to go to Froyo, it means I'm on a date. That's the only time that you take someone to go to frozen yogurt. Okay? Chicks love Froyo. Chicks love Froyo.
No, this is a time and place for Froyo, man.
Yeah.
I totally get
that. It's called first date.
And it wasn't your decision.
But sometimes when I'm like having ice cream and I'll have a little bowl of it, you're like, man... If it feels like I get done too quickly.
But it's not ice cream.
When I use a spoon. So I use a fork to mash it all up together into like the soft serve thing, and then, you know, then you can like eat it a little bit slower. I don't know. It's
Couldn't
really
you just
stupid.
Take smaller bites?
Could, but then the ice cream might be a little bit too hard. You might get only a little bit sliver of it. It's like, oh, and you have better portion control of the ice cream.
Yeah.
Then you waited too long. You waited too long. You took too long mashing it.
If
I wanted to milk, if I wanted to
like
drink chocolate milk, I would have just drink some chocolate milk. The point is, soft serve allows you better portion control with your ice cream. Okay.
Do you like Dairy Queen? Because they specialize in soft serve ice cream.
I haven't eaten a Dairy Queen in years. I have no idea. Depends.
Yeah, be honest.
It depends.
You can be honest.
You like soft serve better than you
give
like.
Give me some salted caramel like ice traditional cream. I'll just take like that. You don't need soft serve.
That's true.
Yeah, it's sweet and the savory. You know, one. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's good like that. You know, that's the point. It's like salt. Yeah,
that is a delicious flavor. You get the sweet and the savory.
But for like just normal chocolate or vanilla, like just your basic bitch flavors.
Who's going out to get ice cream after the podcast?
Yeah.
Neapolitan.
Yeah.
I still would rather use a spoon than a fork.
The Neapolitan
for
soft serve.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, I agree there, Briar. I agree there. Milkshakes are a better form.
I mean, if I'm going to mush it up, I might as well have a milkshake. And then I can use a straw.
Calorie induction.
Mm-hmm.
Skip the whole utensil argument altogether.
They do sell shakes forms of calorie.
And if you even have soft serve ice cream, you can pour chocolate. You can pour like melted chocolate or melted syrup over it and pretend it's gravy.
Gravy? What?
Yeah, it's ice cream gravy.
Oh, ice cream gravy? Yeah.
Briar likes going straight to the mouth.
Briar likes it straight to the mouth.
I've always just been a fan of the cone. I just like going straight to the mouth with the ice cream. Straight to the mouth. Straight to the mouth.
Awesome.
True. All right, that's it for Twitter questions. We actually had a lot of really good questions this week. But, I mean,
conversation.
They were so good that it took us like 10 minutes to answer
each one. 79th episode?
It happens.
79.
70.
Mm-hmm, me too. 79. Next week's 80. Nice round number.